I'm Belinda. I'm Belinda. Okay, so call me anything other than don't call me late for supper. Because I already ate breakfast and it was excellent. Whoever fixed breakfast, my hat is off to you. This is my second time to be with you lovely ladies. So I was here last year. I was the normal one here last year. Loretta was the weird one. I'm the normal one. And she's the one who messed up my song last year and made it into a skit when it shouldn't have been a skit. I'm really excited to be with you. I'm always excited to go south. I'm from Alabama. I'm a missionary to the north, to those blank Yankees. So I'm always happy to come south, because when I come south, I actually hear people who talk right. It is horrible to live in the north. I want you to know it's a terrible burden, but I'm bearing it. Because no one says yes, ma'am. Isn't that sad? No one says yes, ma'am. You say yes, ma'am to someone in the restaurant, the lady that waits on you, she goes, I'm not a ma'am. I'm like, okay, ma'am. She goes, I told you, I'm not a ma'am. I'm not, ma'am, if I don't say ma'am to you, my mother will come down here and whoop me. So I have to say ma'am, and they get real offended. I mean, you're like, you're calling them like some old lady or something. I'm trying to be respectful to you, ma'am. Knock it off, ma'am, before I kill you. Anyway, so I'm always glad to come south, because one, you eat good south. You always eat good south. My mom can cook. Oh, good grief, can she cook? I didn't get this size by just looking at it either. And then I love to come south because everyone's so nice. I brought my friend down south a couple years ago to Alabama, and everyone talks to you. She goes, you know all these people? I'm like, no, we just actually are friendly down here. Up north, if you speak to somebody up north, they're like, what? Do I know you? No, I was just being friendly. Well, no, don't talk to me. I don't know you. Because they're like, you know, they think you're going to mug them or something, you know. I'm like, we're always friendly down south. I remember the lady at Walmart to my friend. She started talking to her. Well, who are you? And you're from the north. And she was talking. And as we walked out, June goes, I don't like it when people talk to me like that. I think they're going to steal my stuff. I'm like, you need to go south, girl, and live. And then my dad gave her a biscuit. Do you know what the girl put on her biscuit? Peanut butter. Now tell me if that ain't the weirdest. Dad goes, what would you want for your biscuit? Jelly, jam, what? She said peanut butter. My whole family just went. I'm like, I cannot bring you south. You're embarrassing me. Well, I'm excited to be with you, and our topic today is all about faith. You know the little pad of paper that you had in your note, in your little bag that had your number on it? Could all of y'all mark your number out and put 173? But I'm the only one who will jump up when that goes off, okay? I haven't figured out which bag I want yet. I am looking about. I was inspecting inside earlier, so I just want you to know they're very nice gifts. So 173. Take out that pad of paper, because today the things I'm going to tell you, I think you're going to want to put down some information in that pad of paper. That's what it's for. And this is going to knock off your socks, but I need 15 volunteers that actually have a Bible with you and you can read English. Are there any 15 in the room? You got to stand up if you got a Bible with you and you read the English language in a southern voice. If you talk Yankee, I'm not interested in you. Okay, here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, there's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Nobody else in here can read English? Okay, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, I think I might have gotten 16, but you girls, come on down. Come on down. You be the lucky one. Oh, yeah, you got to be sure your Bible's a King James, too. Come on up, sisters. Now, when I say, do you read English, that's because I teach English at Hiles Anderson College, and probably half of the people are Espanoles. And so I go, you read the English. I go, one guy, can you pray for us to start class? He starts praying in Spanish. I go, this is America. You speak of the English? He goes, I only speak a little English. I only pray in Spanish. I'm like, okay, well, you're in an English class. Hope I can help you. Slide on across, Jenny, and go down a couple steps. I'm going to give each of you a card.
Thank you.
Now, everybody, we're going to talk about faith today. And needless to say, I'm a teacher. So teachers, you know, we always like classroom participation. I'm all about classroom participation. I'm all about your eyes, or your eyes focused on me. Because when you know in a classroom, when you're teaching Sunday school and those little hoodlums, I mean those children's eyes are not on you, you know there's something nasty going on around them. And you know you're fixing to get tied up and burn at the stake. I'm not sure. Something of that nature. So today we're going to talk about the word faith. Everybody in the room, other than these ladies, would you open your Bible, please, to Romans chapter 12. Get eyes on here. Now I can't see anymore. Verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to take this off so that... We're going to look at Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. We're going to look at the very last little line of that verse, because that's where we're going to start our talk on faith today. Now, do I see a clock anywhere? Just on my hand? Okay, good. Just on my arm. Mine is like, it's only 8 o'clock, so I got a long time. Whew, good. Wendy just fell out in the ground. Oh, no, you ain't got to. Okay, here we go. We're looking at the very last very last line of Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I'll read that one more time. According as God hath dealt to every man or woman the measure of faith. Everybody in this room who is a Christian, God has given, when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you received a measure of faith. Because it took faith for you to accept Jesus Christ, because you can't see Jesus Christ. So because you can't see him, you're accepting him and his payment for your sin by faith. So you got a little bit of faith given to you when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. So everybody, what did you get when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior?
Faith.
Oh, you got faith. Okay. Now, today we're going to talk about all the different kinds of faith that the Bible talks about. And we're going to remember that everybody in the room who has accepted Christ got a little bit of
faith.
All right. Now, faith, I'm going to read you a definition, is a dependence on the veracity. Veracity is a very unique word. That means on the truthfulness of another. Just that thought right there. If we all walked away with just that thought, that we accepted Christ and through our faith. And our faith means that we believe in the truthfulness of another. That means that we know we're going to heaven because God cannot
lie.
We believe in the veracity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he said, I'm going to die on the cross for you. Now, were you any of y'all there? I have to tell you this. The other day I was walking down, I got kind of mixed up about my classes. I know it's kind of hard at the college. I know it's hard for y'all to believe that because I appear so under control. But I got a little mixed up about my classes because the girl came running up. She goes, where's your class? And I go, I don't have a class this hour. She goes, oh, yes, that's on my schedule right here. We're together in 100. And I go, we are right now? I didn't think it was right now. I thought it was at 10 o'clock. She goes, it's on my schedule. So I grabbed my junk out of my office that goes to that class, and I ran like a hissy fit downstairs to where I knew 100 met. And so the little girl says, I run into the class. Well, that wasn't my class. And I mean, it's full of people. And Mr. Sparks, which is the bursar of the college, he was standing there at the top. He couldn't see me, but all the kids could see me. So I walk in, I go, is this my class? In my own calm, quiet way. Is this my class? And he turns and goes, no, it's not your class, Miss Belinda. I go, well, I thought I had a class right now. And this little girl's going, you have a class in here right now. I'm like, so I said, well, I didn't know that. He said, but this is a history class. And you can stay because you've lived most of the history that I'm going to teach. And I said, I can't stay. I have to leave because I'm too young to be in here. Anyway, so faith, I can't remember why I told you that, but it was a funny joke. Anyway, needless to say, the girls looked at her schedule wrong. I was right. So she gave me a heart attack for no reason. And I ran down there for no reason. And then I ran back up to my office and got busy and got rid of her. Said, go away till next hour. Anyway, but I was telling you that because history, none of us lived during the time of Christ. We didn't see him die on the cross, but we accept the veracity of the word that tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross. So everybody got a little bit of
faith,
just a little bit of faith. Everybody got a little bit of faith. Now, God doesn't want it. Faith, in my opinion, if I could show you what faith is. Is there a chair up here? Did I see it? Or I'll just help you. Everybody stand up. You said, oh, man, I got to stand up? Yeah, come on. Don't. If you can't get up, you'll embarrass yourself. Everybody go, oh, she's old. Ooh, she can't get up. Okay, now, everybody, sit down. Now, I got this. Gotcha. I got this question for you. Do y'all really know Wendy Langdon? If you knew Wendy Langdon, you would not have sat down on that bench without first inspecting it. Because you don't know if she didn't knock off the end last night because she just wanted to see a whole row of women go to the ground. But you know what? You sat down in that on that bench and you never thought one time about sitting on that bench. And that's kind of what you did about Jesus. You never one time thought about it. You said, oh, he died for me? I'm going to accept that because I want to go to heaven. And you... faith. Every time you sit down, that is a picture of faith. Because you, unless you're inspecting that chair, you don't inspect that chair. You just plop down this morning. I did too, right on the front row next to Miss Ennis. I just plopped down. I never looked at that. I probably should have. I didn't inspect the ends to see if it could hold all of us. I just sat down. I trusted that bench to hold me up. Now, wouldn't it be a shame to put your faith in a bench, but you can't put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many people in the world who trust so much, so many things to take care of their body, but they forget when it's all said and done and you're in your casket, which you're trusting to hold you up, it isn't going to take you to heaven. It's your faith that you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that I've put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and I have been given a measure of faith, I am faith meaning the dependence on the veracity. What does veracity mean?
Truthfulness.
Say that word.
Truthfulness.
So faith is the dependence on the truthfulness of another. And I get faith from the Lord Jesus Christ, a little bit of faith given to me. Then I'm supposed to take that faith and I'm supposed to develop that faith. The Christian life is all about developing your faith. What's the Christian life about?
Developing
faith. So I get that faith and then I'm supposed to take that faith and I'm supposed to develop it. So today we're going to look at the things we're going to do to develop our faith. The first one we're going to look at is Luke 17:5. You don't have to look at all of these because these gals are going to read them to you.
Jenny? And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith.
What was the first thing that the apostles said to the Lord?
Increase our faith.
Increase our faith. So what's the first thing we're supposed to do is to increase our faith. Okay, now increase our faith is what the Bible says. I'm going to tell you what it means in our language. Go to church. That's what it means. Go to church. It means go to church consistently. Not every once in a while, go to church. When you go to church, you increase your faith. So what's the first thing we're supposed to do in Luke? Jenny's all about increasing our faith. What is Jenny about? Increasing our faith. And what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Why ain't you talking to me? What does that mean? Now see, I told you weren't all talking to me. So the first thing you have to do is to increase your faith is go to
church.
Did you hear what I said? Go to
church.
You can't increase your faith just sitting at home watching the TV. You say, well, I'm going to watch church on TV. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know why we can't do that, because to me that sounds wonderful. You don't have to even move out of your house. But that, you know, I think if God wanted us to watch it on TV, he would have had the sense to just print it in the book. Yeah. But he didn't print that in the book. He said, forsake not the of yourselves to...
Yeah.
Well, now, if he said that, there's a reason why I need to go to church. Now, I don't have to understand it. I'm just supposed to obey. So I have to go to church because I don't know that I can really interact one-on-one with that man screaming at me on the TV or on the radio. But I can interact with the one who's screaming at me and go, are you talking to me? Oh, no, just kidding. Just kidding. Would never say that. But I get to also interact with all my girlfriends. I go to church to talk. Why do y'all go to church? My husband don't go to church to talk. He goes and he sits down and, you know, and he's real calm. Me, I walk flat around the room. I know y'all can't believe this because I seem so calm. I walk all around the church talking to everybody. They start playing the organ. I'm still talking. Walking around talking, seeing all my friends. But I can have a whole group of people all around me talking because I'm all about talking. The pastor comes out and the choir comes out. They're singing the opening special. I'm still talking. My husband's like, church is starting. I'm like, oh, okay. Bye, y'all. Bye, friends. Oh, see you later. See you after church. We'll meet in front and talk. Anyway, so the first thing I'm supposed to do is to increase my faith is go to
church.
All right, second thing I'm supposed to do is in Acts 16:5. Is that where you're reading this?
And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
So I'm supposed to get established in the faith. What am I supposed to get?
Established.
The Bible says that the churches got established in the faith. And when they were established in the faith, they grew, their numbers grew. Here's what I mean. Do what you hear. Go to church. Do what you hear the pastor tell you to do. Say, but I don't like what he told me to do. That ain't what the Bible said. The Bible said, do. That's, in my opinion, when it says get established in the faith, that's when you do what the Bible tells you to do. You're doing what the pastor is telling you to do. If he's telling you to be nice to your children, work on it. If he tells you to, whatever it is he's telling you to do, if you want to establish your faith, you establish your faith by doing what the man of God is telling you to do. He is, his life is given to the word. My life is given to teaching English. But Brother Ennis's life is given to the word. He studies the word. He prays more than I do. And he studies the Bible more than I get to study the Bible. It is his job to teach us and train us. So if he's going to spend all that time learning the word, why in the world wouldn't I do what he told me I ought to do? If you want to grow your faith, you have to, number one, go to
church.
Number two, do what you
hear.
So what's number one?
Go to church.
Go to church. And that's increase your
faith.
And increase it, you do it by going to church. And then to establish your faith, you do that by doing what you hear. All right, here we go. Next, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 16:13.
Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong.
Okay, so it says for me to stand for the faith. So it says stand for the faith. So number one, you're to increase your
faith.
Number two, you are to establish your
faith.
And number three, you're going to stand for your faith. Number one, increase your faith means to?
Go to church.
You're not all talking to me. It means to?
Go to church.
All right, now, there you go. Number two, when you establish your faith, that means to?
Do
what you're hearing. Okay, number three, we're going to stand for the faith, and here's what that means. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. You mean don't be ashamed? You mean like people ought to know that I'm a Christian? Yeah. My last year of high school, I went from a Christian school in the as a junior in high school to back into the public school as a senior in high school. And I wore my clothes as a Christian should wear their clothes. And now I carried my Bible to school. Now, if you want to hair lip anybody, just put the Bible on top of your books and carry it to school. People were like, I'd set my books down, they're like, what's that? I'm like, the Bible. They're like, the Bible? Why did you bring your Bible? I said, because I'm a Christian. Oh, you're a Christian? Now you know why I'm weird, right? I mean, when you got to do all that kind of stuff, you really become weird. So I said, yeah, I'm a Christian. Do you believe? And they go, I'm a Christian too. Yeah. I go, oh, you're a Christian? I said, yes, I'm a Christian. I wish I could stand up for Jesus like you stand up for Jesus. And I said, well, you just have to learn how to not be ashamed of Christ. And would the people where you work go, she is? Or would they go, oh, yeah, I can tell she is. One thing about the South that I like is most of the ladies and the men stand for what they believe. And they're not ashamed of Christ in their workplace. And I noticed as we were driving in all the different churches that lined those streets as we came. The South is called the Bible Belt. And I think, to be honest with you, that down South, we're not as ashamed of Christ as we are when we're up North. And that's probably because we've all been steeped in church. And that's not necessarily true up where I'm from. Everyone's steeped in church, but it's Catholic church. We're steeped in church, and it's some type of church like what we all came from. But that's what it means. Stand for your faith means to not be not to be ashamed of Jesus. All right, number one, I'm going
to
increase my faith by? Number two, I'm going to establish my faith by? What? Number three, I'm going to stand for my faith by not being ashamed of Jesus. What?
Not being ashamed of Jesus.
Now, we're going to walk by faith. That's
for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Walk by faith means that wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. Wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. This is number four. Walk by faith is wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. What is it? Wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. So I better be careful where I go. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's her fault. She didn't read the verse out. I didn't tell her to. Okay, so number one, I'm increasing my faith by going to
church.
Number two, I am establishing my faith by doing what I
hear.
Number three, I am standing for the faith by
not being ashamed of Jesus.
Number three, I'm going to walk by faith by Jesus goes with me. Now that should give me peace. That should give me comfort for my heart. Because wherever I go, who goes with me?
Jesus.
That means also that would tell me to watch where my little feet go. Because wherever my feet go, whatever I do, Jesus Christ, the God, the Holy Spirit lives within me. So wherever I go and whatever I do, he has to do it. Because he is part of me now. So I can't take him out, set him down, go do something, come back, pick him up. Say, you couldn't see that, right? That's not true. Whatever I do and wherever I go, who goes with me?
Jesus.
Okay, and that's walking by faith. Next, we're doing full of faith, and we are looking at Acts 2:1. Is that true? Okay, here we go. 3 verses, Acts 6:5-8, and Acts 11:24.
And he saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Simon, and Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people.
All right, so the next one's full of faith. And of course, she read us 2 different verses about Stephen, the martyr for Christ in the New Testament. And the Bible used the words, he's full of faith. I'm going to tell you what I think full of faith means. You believe in prayer. You believe in prayer. I love the fact that I picked up one of the pieces of paper going around the room. I picked up one last year, too, and all year I've been praying for that lady. And then I picked up this one, and she had written her prayer request. And I love the fact that she believes in prayer. Because when you ask people to pray for things, you're saying, I believe in prayer. Prayer is what makes you full of faith. The more you pray, the more faith you get. So to grow my faith, number one, to increase it, I'm going to go to
church.
Number two, establish it, I'm going to
do what I hear.
Number three, to stand for it, I'm not going to
be ashamed of Jesus.
Number four, to walk in it, that means wherever I
go, Jesus.
Number five, I'm full of faith, that means I believe in
prayer.
And I believe in prayer. This is, she got one more.
For he was a good man. And full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord.
So the first two she read was about Stephen. This one she read is about Barnabas, and he was full of faith. And I love those words, full of faith. I wonder if we're so full of faith it just flows over onto other people. They say, wow, you really have a faith in God. You have a faith and you believe God can answer your prayer. Next is continuing. So full of faith is all about. You're full of faith when you believe in
prayer.
All right, then continuing the faith is our next one, Acts 14:22.
Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God.
And that means don't quit. We need you not to quit with your Christian walk. Quit going to church. Quit telling people about Christ. Anything that you quit, you're not increasing your faith. You need to increase your faith by, number one, going to
church.
Number two, you grow your faith by doing what you hear. Number three, you stand for faith by number four, you walk by faith by wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. You're full of faith when you believe in
prayer.
Then you're continuing the faith when you do not
quit.
Do not
quit.
Do not
quit.
You know, one of the best things I've ever learned, well, I learned from Dr. Jack Hiles when I first went to Hiles Anderson way back in the 70s. He said, I told all the students, I want you to go to your room, I want you to get your dictionary out, and I want you to cut out the word quit. He said, that's not a word we use around here. It's like cussing. And I am glad for that, because there have been many times in my life when this chick wanted to quit. But he told me to cut it out of the dictionary, so it's not a word. So how can you do something that's not even a word? But we don't want to quit. You say, hard times are really overcoming me. Don't quit. Go to prayer. Don't quit. Go to
prayer.
Don't quit. Go to
prayer.
Don't quit. Go to
prayer.
When you want to quit, go to
prayer.
When you want to quit, go to
prayer.
I'm so sick of all of this stuff. I'm going to go to
prayer.
Go to
prayer.
Because if you believe in prayer, you'll be full of faith. And when you're full of faith, you don't want to quit, because you don't want to quit on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he did not quit on you. So if he didn't quit on me, I at least need to give him the same type of allegiance. Do y'all agree? Okay, so here we go. Number one, increase your faith by going to
church.
Number two, establish your faith by
doing good.
Okay, each time now, ladies, I point, you step out, and then I don't have to come to where you are. Okay, number three, you stand for faith by step out. Number three, by what? By what? All right, number four, step out. And that is walk by faith, by wherever I go. All right, then number five, step out. That's full of faith, because I believe in
prayer.
Number six, continue in the faith, means I will not
quit.
Number seven, here we go. It's follow after faith. It's 1 Timothy 6:11. 1 Timothy 6:11.
But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness.
Read you one more in 2 Timothy 2:22 for following after faith.
Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
So she gave us two verses on following your faith. Following your faith means follow those who have the faith. Follow those who have faith. You need people in your life whom you look at and you follow them because they have faith, like your pastor, like the different men and women of your church who you feel have faith. You follow after faith by following those who have faith. Now, in these 2 years I've been here, I have discovered this about Mrs. Ennis and Miss Wendy. They have faith. So I could easily fall in line behind either one of those ladies and make them like mentors to me if I were a new Christian and say those ladies have faith and I could follow their faith because their faith is very displayed. They're not ashamed. I can follow their faith. We're supposed to follow the faith of those who are over us. We're supposed to follow their faith. That's what it said. Follow their faith. Okay, so now here we go. Number one, we're going to increase our faith by what?
Going to church.
Number two, establish our step out each time, ladies. Number two is establish our faith by
doing good.
Number three, we're going to stand for faith by not being a
shame to Jesus.
Good. Number four, we're going to walk by faith by this statement. Wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. Number five, step out. You're full of faith when you believe in
prayer.
Number six, continue in the faith means do not
quit.
Good. Number seven, follow after faith means I'm following those that have
faith.
Did y'all step out? Good. Now here's number eight. Fight the fight of faith. One of my favorites. Fight the fight of faith. We're looking at 1 Timothy 6:12. I'm sorry. Second, which one are we looking at? 1 Timothy 6:12. I'll make sure I was right.
Fight the good faith of fight of faith. I'm sorry. Now I'm going again. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Is that not a wonderful verse? Boy, I wish that were my life verse. I wish that was the verse that I said when someone thought of me, they thought of that verse. And that is fight the fight of faith. Here's what that means. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. I can't tell you how many times on a Sunday I'll hear a girl, because I work with the kids that come off the streets of Chicago, and that girl will take God's name in vain. And I will go over to her and I'll say, in this building, this building's about God. If you want to talk about God, you talk about God in a very respectful manner. Or this chick will sit on you and you'll be so flat, you'll have to run around in the shower to get wet. Because in this building, it's all about God. You'll get that in a minute. Okay. So I call that fight the fight of faith. That's stand up for Jesus. Let's sing it. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the Lord. Lift high the royal banner.
Lift high the royal banner. It must not suffer loss.
Stop. What about what's going on in this country? What do we need to do?
Stand up, buddies.
We need to stand up, girls. We need to help our husbands to stand up, and we need to stand up for what's right and what we know to be right, because this country is headed the wrong way. And if we took more stands as Christian women, the women in our neighborhood would be fearful. They wouldn't be so brazen in their actions, because they'd see a godly woman. And they'd be fearful because they know they would feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon them because you were just there beside them. Stand up for Jesus. That's number 8. So number 1, we're going to increase our faith by. Number 2, we're going to establish our faith by. Number 3, we're going to stand for faith by. Number 4, we're going to walk by faith by wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. You're full of faith when you believe in
prayer.
Number 6, you continue in the faith because you will not
quit.
Number 7, follow after faith means you follow those who have faith. And number 8, you fight the fight of
faith.
Faith means you're going to do what?
Stand
up for Jesus. May I say this? Most of the actors on your television set, teenage ladies, do not have faith. Why do you want to wear your hair like them? Wear your clothes like them? You need to do this. Fight the fight of faith. And I know it's not easy as a teenage girl to fight the fight of faith. Because I know you're probably the only one in your school. Or the only one or two. And it's not easy. And I understand that. It's not easy. But I also understand this concept. When I go to heaven, I stand before Christ. The one who saved my soul, who didn't quit, and who stood for what he knew was right. I'm going to be ashamed in front of him if I have not taken a stand for what I know is right. I have to say this. At the end of my senior year, when the people wrote in my yearbook, the number one statement they wrote was these words. I appreciate how you stood for Christ. I wish I had the guts. That was the number one statement. I wish I had the guts. And the only reason why I stood for Christ is because I had a bunch of youth pastors who I followed after their faith. And that's why I stood for Christ. Not because I was special, but just because that I believed in the faith they had and they gave it to me. So I followed their faith. And that helped me as a teenager. Next, number 9 is keep the faith. Number 9, keep the faith. And we're reading. 2 Timothy 4:7, correct?
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Kept the faith. That means I've learned the truths of the word. When you keep the faith, you can't keep what keep means to take care of. I'm supposed to take care of the truths in this book. That means I'm supposed to learn them, and then I'm supposed to teach them to my children and the people that I have influence over. I'm supposed to keep them. Like gals, you keep the house, right? How many of you, when you keep the house, you sweep out the dirt? When you keep the house, you wash down all the mess. So I don't let anybody mess with this word. You say, man, are we like vigilant women? No, we just keep the faith. That means our children should have our faith. At least I should have at least tried to give it to them. If they made the choice not to take it, that's their choice. But they ought to feel like that when they get themselves in an issue, they ought to feel like I can go talk to mama because she's full of faith and she believes in prayer and our child's not going to die because my mama believes in prayer. You ought to be a mother who's full of faith to your children. You keep the faith. So keep the faith means to learn the truths of the faith. What does it mean?
Learn the truths of the faith.
Fight for the faith. We're going to go backwards this time. So step out number 9. This is keep the faith. That means to learn the truths of the faith. What does it mean?
Learn the truths of the faith.
All right, step out. Then we're going to do, we are going to fight the fight of faith. That means to?
Stand up for Jesus.
What does it mean?
Stand up for Jesus.
All right, number seven, follow after faith means?
Follow.
We're going backwards. What does it mean?
Follow.
Number seven, step out. This is the person you're going, number seven is, did I miss it? Number six, continue in the faith means to?
Don't
quit. Number five, full of faith means?
Pray.
What does it mean? You're full of?
Prayer.
You believe in?
Prayer.
Number four, walk by faith means?
Jesus.
Number three, stand for the faith means?
Don't.
Good. Number two, established in the faith means? And number one, increase your faith means to? We're going to do one more, and then the rest of you, I'm so sorry, but I ran out of time. So number 10, we're going to do hold fast the profession of faith. It's in Hebrews 10, 23. Hebrews 10, 23.
Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised.
Okay, so I'm supposed to hold fast the faith, and that means do not give in to things that are not true about the Word of God or false doctrines. You have to be careful because you'll get involved in what I call false doctrines or churches that teach things that aren't true. When I was a little girl, I grew up in the Nazarene church. And the Nazarene church teaches you that you can keep your salvation and lose your salvation. Keep it and lose it and keep it and lose it. You keep it and lose it. You pray through. You get sanctified. Man, that stuff almost messed me up. Because when I always would lay down at night thinking, am I going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell? It scared me to death. And I just happened to be, after a while, my family moved into another area and I started going to a different church, a Baptist church, a Southern Baptist church, by the way. And the Southern Baptist church taught me that if you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you'd always go to heaven. Boy, that was a wonderful day for me. Because every night I'd lay down and think of all the good things I did and all the bad things I did. And I hate to break it to you, but all the bad things surely outweighed all the good things. So the other religion was teaching me that if I did enough good things, I'd go to heaven. But I could lose my salvation if I did bad things. Well, I never could figure out how to live a day without doing something bad. None of y'all have you? Don't look at me like I'm a bad girl. You be bad too, girlfriend. Okay, so that is a false doctrine. We need to be careful that we do not allow false doctrines to get into us. And that happens sometimes because we watch it on TV. We watch TV preachers and we get mixed up in some weird things. So when it says hold fast the faith, that means don't learn or give yourself to false. Do not learn or give yourself to false doctrine. So we're going to go from the first. Increase your faith means to, number one, go to?
Church.
Number two, established in the faith means to?
Do what you hear.
Okay, everybody talk to me. It means to?
Do what you hear.
Number three, stand for your faith means to?
Do not Jesus.
Good. Number four, walk by faith means wherever I go, Jesus goes with me. Number five, if you're full of faith, you believe in?
Prayer.
Number six, continue in the faith means do not?
Quit.
Number seven, follow those who have the faith. I'm sorry, follow after faith means to?
Follow those who have the faith.
Well, if you missed that one, you'd be dumb as a brick. Number eight, you fight the fight of faith means you?
Stand up for Jesus.
You what?
Stand up for Jesus.
Number nine, you keep the faith by?
Learn
the truths of your faith. That means pay attention in church. What? Learn the truths of your faith. And number 10, hold fast your faith means to? Don't give in to false doctrine. There are five others. I'll give them to you and you can write them down. You resist. The Bible talks about resisting. You have faith that resists sin. That's 1 Peter 5:9. The Bible, number 12, the Bible talks contend for the faith. I really wanted to get there. That's Jude 3. That means to tell the faith. Contend, we think contend means to fight, but it doesn't always mean to fight. Contend means to strive in combat. We are in a war for the souls of men and women. We're supposed to be in the war, fighting the war for the souls of men and women. That's what it means, contend for the faith. I know you think it means argue with the person next to you who doesn't believe the doctrines you believe. That's a waste of your time. When I go soul winning, and people tell me, well, I am a particular Jehovah Witness or whatever, I don't stand there for 45 minutes and tell them why they're wrong. Because they are so steeped in that, I just go to the next house. When I go to the next house, there's someone waiting there who wants Christ. They've been just thinking, well, I've been waiting. I've always wondered about that. Why? Contend for the faith doesn't mean I argue with everybody. It means I'm in a war for men and women's souls, and so I'm after souls. I love winning people to Christ. I love that moment when I say, when I've told you all about how you're going to die and you're going to go to hell, just like I deserve to die and go to hell, and then I turn you over to Romans 5:8, where it says that God commendeth his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I show you, look, what was your payment for sin? Death. Hell. Look at that. Jesus died for you. I love that look in their eye when they go, really? For me? And I say, yeah. I can hardly tell that without crying. Just to tell those words, those are precious things. I love telling people about Christ. I've been after Sunday school in my Sunday school class, because I do have a lot of kids that come in off the streets of Chicago. Anyone who's new, I personally ask you if you know if you died, if you'd go to heaven. And most of them don't. And then I get to go take them into a little room and tell them all about Christ. I have one girl I told about Christ, oh, probably 3 months ago. Every Sunday, she's been at church. She's growing in the Lord. Boy, I can't tell you if that's contending for the faith. I didn't mean to get stopped. Okay, number 13, pass it on. That's your number 13, to have a faith that you pass on. That's 2 Timothy 1:5. That means get your own family in church. Pass it on. Get your own family in church. Number 14, hold fast the faith. That's Hebrews 10:22-23. That means don't let your trials stop you. Hold fast the faith. It's like you're holding, you know when you're about to fall down and you grab hold of something and you're holding yourself up? That's what it means, hold fast. And number 15, add to your faith. And that's 2 Peter 1:5. That means grow in Christ. If you look at 2 Peter 1:5, he tells us all these things, and to your faith add, and he gives us a list of about 6 things we should add to our lives. So let's do number 1, increase your faith by going to.
Sure.
Number 2, establish your faith by doing what you. Number 2, come on, stand for the faith means you're not ashamed of Christ. Number 4, walk by faith means that wherever I, Jesus goes with me. Number 5, you're full of faith because you believe in. Continue in faith because you do not. You follow after faith because you follow those who have. Number 8, you fight the faith because you're going to stand up for. Number 9, keep the faith means you learn the truths of the faith. Number 10, you are going to hold fast the faith, means you're not going to give in to. And then you have resist sin, that's resisting faith. Contend for the faith means tell the faith. Pass it on or give it to other people means get your own family in church. Hold fast the faith means not to let trials stop you. And add to your faith means to grow in Christ. Let's give these ladies a hand. They've done a great job. I'm sorry, gals, who didn't get to read. All right, y'all find your seat. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to take that home and I want you to study it yourself and see what things do I need to change about myself that will make my faith stronger. Because this world is looking for, needs more women who believe in the faith of the Word of God and stand for what they believe. Thank you so much.